All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. This is our second to last lesson in this series. Next week will be kind of a mix of communication. There's some other things that Paige is going to hit on, but the majority of it will probably be kind of roles and responsibilities and kind of what that looks like in marriage. And so that'll wrap up the series next week. This week is the laws of in-laws. All right, that's what I've named this one, the laws of in-laws. Dealing with in-laws, and not only in-laws, but just other family members that you might deal with in marriage, such as a grandma or an aunt or an uncle, all right, or the, you know, the cousin or whoever it might be, all right. But the majority of what we will talk about tonight is dealing with the in-laws, all right. I will say, and I might ask some questions, and feel free to be transparent if you want to. If you don't have to, keep your hand down, keep your mouth shut. You don't have to say a single word. But I cannot speak on this topic from experience, all right. Would anyone be able to speak on this topic from experience? No one wants to raise their hand. No one. We won't tell anybody. We won't tell anybody. Well, yeah. So I cannot, like I said, I cannot speak on this topic from experience. My in-laws, I've got great in-laws. Are they perfect in-laws? No. Are they good in-laws? Yes, they are. All right. They have stayed out of Jenny and I's marriage for the most part, and they don't really meddle in our marriage. They haven't. We're coming up on, it'll be 10 years in April, which is crazy to think about, but they have never wedged their way into our marriage, all right? My parents are the same way. They have never wedged their way into our marriage, and I think Paige would probably say the same thing for her and Alex. I think Sydney, if she was here, would probably say the same thing for her and Dakota, and I think Brad would say the same thing for her and Abby, or him and Abby, all right? And so, but I know that's not always the case, all right? Because I know that there are, I've heard stories about, you know, mother-in-law and or father-in-law adding their two cents in to whatever they feel like they need to do it, or whatever they need to do when they need to do, all right? The reason this is difficult is because, think about this, mom and dad, you have been raising this child from day one until they get married. Let's say, we'll say 24, all right? For 24 years, this child of yours has been part of your life. All right, you've raised them, you've taught them all kinds of lessons, you've watched them grow up, you've experienced great times with them, you've probably experienced not so great times with them, you've had your ups, you've had your downs, and then all in one day, all right, all that responsibility that you had as the parents of that child, and one I do, all right, gets transferred from mom and dad, all right, to either, to, and this is from the woman, obviously, to that husband, all right? And that can be a really, really difficult thing to come to grasp with, right? You shared experiences, and you've done everything, and even through that time, you went from being probably a parent to probably, depending on the age of the kid, the maturity of that kid, around 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you went from being a parent to probably a friend, right? And that makes it even that much more difficult. Because now, after they say, I do, all right, they should have a new best friend, all right? And their mother or their father is not the one that they should be going to whenever there's problems or issues or whatever. Now it's the spouse that they need to go to when there's problems or issues or whatever that might be, all right? And we'll get into that here in a little bit more as we go, all right? A few nuggets before we get into the meat of the topic. One thing that I have, and I've never done a study on it, and I'm sure someone probably has at some point, but when you get married, and I'm speaking to kind of a younger couple here because, you know, this usually tends to rear its ugly head in the first year, year and a half, 2 years of marriage. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen when you get older, all right? But normally the hardest part is within the year to 2 years of marriage, okay? But if you can, as a young couple, move away from your parents, all right? I wouldn't suggest it, but I think moving away and creating distance helps with this a lot, all right? It happened to us. We didn't want to move away. We got married in 17. We went on our honeymoon, got married here, went on our honeymoon, came back to Columbus, didn't even come back down here, and then went straight up to Akron because Jenny was doing her residency up there. So for the first 7 years, 6 or 7 years of our marriage, both of our parents were four hours away, all right? So we couldn't just, you know, when we got in an argument with each other, run to our parents or run to our mom or our dad and say, he did this or she did this, you know, what should I do or how should I handle this? I mean, obviously you could do a phone call, but that's a little bit different, all right? So I'm not saying get married and you should leave just because you want this dynamic to go about the right way, but I think it is important. I think it's worth understanding that this can probably help if you were to move away from your parents. Do life on your own for a little bit, at least till you get things figured out, okay? Number two, and this kind of talking more to the parent side of things, this begins when you start raising your child, all right? This process has already started for Jenny and I, all right? As far as preparing Hudson and Walker, all right, for marriage. You say you're preparing them for marriage when they're almost 3 and 4? Yes, because how you raise your child will determine, okay, how that more than likely determine how that marriage works out, all right? If you are a parent that is very controlling, okay, and you want to control everything about your kid because you love them so much, okay, and you won't let him do this, and you got tight reins on him, and the leash is only this long because you don't want him to get in trouble, and you don't want him to do this, and all these things, all right, you're controlling them. I was talking to a young man actually Monday that he's not engaged. He's got a girlfriend, and they were going to do something, and he was like, man, I this is a big deal that we're doing this because her parents are very controlling. And At first I said, biting my tongue, and then I was like, just to let you know, that probably won't change a whole lot after you say I do. And he was kind of like, well, what do you mean by that? I said, if her parents have been controlling for the first 21, 22 years of her life, all right, after you say I do, it's not going to all of a sudden disappear. It's not going to just stop. If anything, you are going to get drug into that controlling relationship, okay? And you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get annoyed. You're going to get angry, and you're going to get mad. Now, I didn't tell him all this stuff. I just said that doesn't normally change after I do. But, all right, I say all that to say this. As you raise your children, think about, and I know, you know, I don't even want to think about my boys getting married. Like I said, they're 2 and 4. But as we're raising our children, we need to think about, okay, am I preparing him or her for marriage? Or am I hindering him or her for marriage? So that's just something to think about. I know that's probably more of a parenting tip as opposed to a young married or a married couple's tip, but I just wanted to throw that in there, all right? More times than not, if there's a family a dynamic issue, who is it between? I think this is a pretty easy one, but I just want you guys to think a little bit. If there is a family dynamic issue, who is it normally between? Who said that? What'd you say?
The mother-in-law.
It's the wife of the husband and his mommy. That is normally the dynamic that does a lot of this. I'm not saying it's the only one. Okay, but I am saying that probably, and what I've seen, and I know I'm not old, at least I don't think I am, I don't say I am, but in what I've seen, all right, it's mommy and wife. That is normally, if there's going to be conflict, 90% of the time, that is who it's between, all right? I heard a story about a couple that was just married. They're less than a year into marriage. 6 months or so, and they're, you know, you're still in your honeymoon stage and all that. Jason, do you remember your honeymoon stage? Yeah, I think we all do, right? Still there? Oh, You too, Alex? Yeah. Okay. Think what you want, Alex. It comes back around. Okay, that's good to know. And as new couples do, they were in their bedroom partaking. And what? They were, yeah, I mean, they, y'all know what I mean when I say that? Okay, good. We are, yeah, Jason already talked about this. So I think you know where exactly where I'm going. And so they were in their bedroom, and they hear their door open. Not their bedroom door, their front door. And his mommy just decided to walk right in. And now she didn't see anything because, like I said, she didn't walk into their bedroom. It was just the front door. But still, and we'll talk about boundaries here in just a couple minutes, but that would scare the mess out of me. And then I'd be, after I got done being scared, I'd be very angry, I would say. And either she and her mother or me and her mother would be having a very frank conversation if that were to happen, all right? But that dynamic is where 90% of the issues are going to take place. I'm not saying that the wife and the husband's dad won't ever get into it or have problems. That could be. I'm not saying that the wife and the grandma will have issues. That could be very, very true. But most of the time, it's between the wife and the mommy, all right, of the husband, all right? So with that being said, Scripture speaks directly to this issue. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 24, it says this, all right? We're going to kind of break this first down. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his what? Mother. I got mother there capitalized and underlined and italicized, all right? Because, again, that's where most of the issue is, all right? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his mother. Oh, it's wife, okay. Shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. All right? Notice it says a man shall leave his father and his mother. Okay? Now, I don't know. I think there could be two reasons for this. Number one, Scripture tells us that man is to be the leader in the home. Okay? And so I think he addresses this to the man, all right, because he said, hey, listen, if there's an issue here, you need to deal with it, man, all right? That's something you need to work on, you need to handle. Or he knew the dynamic between the mother-in-law and the wife, and so he mentions to the son, all right, a man shall leave his father and his mother, okay? It's his mother, that's extremely important, all right? He says, therefore shall a man leave, all right? The idea of leave is this: shift your primary loyalty away from your parents to build a new independent family unit. All right? Shift your primary, not all, but your primary loyalty away from your parents to build a new independent family unit. All right? I've heard people say this, and I think my dad's even might have even said it from the pulpit or whatever. It's well meaning, and I understand what they say. When Jenny and I got married, he may have said, you know, our family is gaining a new daughter-in-law. All right, I understand what he's saying, and I agree with that, but that's not always necessarily true because. Jenny and I started our own family, our own immediate family, all right? Now, technically, are we still family? Yes, all right? Obviously. But Jenny isn't pulled into my family as far as the marriage goes with me, my mom, my dad, Paige, Sydney, Brad, and their husbands, all right? We have our own. We are starting our own family, the two of us, all right? And so the leaving part there is needs to be stressed because that's extremely, extremely important. Oh, did someone say anything? Oh, okay. I must be hearing stuff. All right. The second thing that he talks about is cleaving, all right? The idea here is to glue or cling tightly to your spouse with deep and loyal commitment, not cling to your mother or your father, okay? You know, and on marriage day, after you say I do, there should be a, if we're going along with this idea, kind of a ripping apart, all right, of father and daughter or son and mom, a ripping apart of that. That's why when you walk down the, when the husband or the dad walks the daughter down the aisle, he, what does he do? Gives her away. That's symbolic of saying, all right, I am now giving the responsibilities of my daughter over now to your, you as the husband, all right? That is the symbolic, that is the ripping with the way of the glue, if you will, all right? She is no longer my responsibility, all right? She is now yours, and do a good job of it. Because if you don't, bad things might happen, all right? If you have a daughter, you probably understand that a little more than I do with them, with the boys, or will at least, all right? Your spouse is now your most important human relationship, okay? Not your mother, not your father, not grandma, and when you have kids, not even your kids, all right? Your spouse is your most important human relationship, all right? And it needs to be treated that way, and it needs to be worked that way. It needs to be fostered that way, all right? And even with kids, you know, I've seen this with parents that they start having kids and, you know, the kids are the most important relationship to the mom and to the dad, whether it be the dad's got the boy that does the travel baseball or whatever, and that's always, he's just immersed in it from, you know, when he starts at, you know, 4 years old up until all the way through to high school, and then in the college it's baseball or basketball or whatever it is, right? And then the mom's got the girl and they're doing this and they're doing that and all these things. And they're so involved in their children's life, which I'm not saying we don't need to be involved in our children's life. Be involved in your children's life, please, all right? But not at the expense of your relationship of your husband or your wife, okay? Because guess what? At some point, that child will leave the house, all right? At some point, that daughter will leave the house. And then after 18, 20, 22 years of not working on the relationship between your spouse, now you don't really even, quote unquote, know your spouse because you've spent so much time with your kids you didn't spend time together. And they're gone and now you're sitting, you went from go to what do we do now until grandkids come along and you're like, well, what's your name again? Oh yeah, okay, you're my wife. That's right, who I married 22 years ago, okay? That relationship is vital. It's extremely, extremely important. So keep that in mind, all right? Keep that in mind, all right? Your spouse should be the one you communicate with the most and the best, okay? Your spouse should be the one that you have conflict resolution with, not your parents. Your spouse should be the one you discuss intimacy with, definitely not your parents. Your spouse should be the one you discuss finances with, not your mother, all right? Your spouse should be the one you discuss roles and responsibilities within your marriage, not your parents, okay? Keep that in mind, all right? Keep that in mind. So you are to cleave to your spouse, all right, not your parent. Now, I know this seems very elementary, and it really is in thought and in theory, but in practice, this is a lot harder to do. Okay, this is much more difficult to do than I am just communicating to you right now. All right, then the last part, it says one flesh. All right, so leave, cleave, and become one. Share your heart, life, and body to act as a single team. All right, not a two-man team or a three-man team or a four-man team. All right, you guys are one. All right, do not be pulling mommy or daddy into that relationship. That's not good for anybody. All right. They may try to tell you, you know, hey, how, you know, we need to be involved in this. We need to be involved in that. No, they don't. All right. And if you have marriage issues and you need a counselor or whatever, go find one. Don't have your mother or your father give you marriage counseling advice. Now, if you want to ask a question to them or, you know, how did you and mom do this or whatever, that's different. But if you're having some issues, all right, please don't involve your parents in that. Okay. All right. And please, if you are a parent, don't get involved in that. Push away from that. you know, go find somebody else to talk to about this. I am not the one you want to talk to about this, all right? Husbands, this may involve you being the man in your marriage and addressing your mother if need be, all right? This can be difficult to do. Again, when you've experienced 18, 20, 25 years as your mom is your number one female in your life, and all of a sudden now it's not, it can be hard to have a conversation with her. But as a man in the relationship, you owe that to your wife, who, again, is your number one. Your mother is not your number one anymore. Again, it's your wife, all right? Not only do couples need to understand this, but it's extremely important that parents or whoever, all right, whatever that dynamic is, needs to understand this principle as well, all right? If you as young married couples get this principle, all right, that's great, but your parents need to follow suit and you need to push that, okay? You need to, if you need to, you need to put your foot down at times and say, hey, listen, you know, we're not doing this, all right? This is not how I want our marriage to be. This is not how I want our relationship to be. This is not what I want this to look like. Put your foot down, all right, and make sure they understand that, all right? So two main things as a couple that we need to kind of implement, all right? Number one, first, set boundaries as a team, all right? Set boundaries as a team. The first thing is talk, all right? Simple. Communicate, all right? Communicate. Discuss your limits with your spouse in private before addressing family issues, all right? This should probably be one of the first things that is talked about when marriage is brought to the table, maybe even before you're engaged, but definitely when you're engaged and you know you're going to get married, this conversation between the couples needs to happen, all right? How many, I think we're all pretty much married in here or have been, how many had this conversation with your spouse before you got married? Maybe in marriage counseling or just you knew someone told you, hey, listen, you need to have a conversation about this before you get married. All right. Anybody? One, two, three. So is that about it? You guys raise your hand? No? So three of the 10 couples in here, maybe 13 couples in here, had this conversation. Now, I think Gracie and Evan, I did your guys' marriage counseling, and that is something that I do when I do my marriage counseling is we have a whole series on the family, all right, and what that dynamic looks like between, you know, and we talk about that dynamic, you know, and I ask them, I say, hey, listen, all right, you know your mother, how is this dynamic going to work? And they say either it's going to be fine or they say it's going to be horrible, Aaron. Now, they didn't say that, okay, I'm just saying, you need to know what is coming before it comes, all right? And you need to have conversations. You and your spouse need to be on the same page, all right, before all of a sudden you're faced with something and you're like, oh, what do we do? I don't know. We should have talked about this. Oh, let's talk about it. And it's just rushed and people are pressuring you to give answers and stuff. So that is one thing that you need to get out of the way is talking, all right? Again, marriage counseling, if you ever get to do marriage counseling, make sure that is a topic that is discussed, all right? The second thing, so number one, talk first. Secondly, manage your own family, all right? Handle difficult talks or pushback with your own parents rather than making your spouse be the bad guy, okay? Here's what this looks like, okay? I'm going to use Jenny and I just as an example, all right? Jenny gets frustrated, all right, with my parents for whatever reason. I don't know. They fill in the blank. I don't care. Whatever it is. All right. Yeah. She wouldn't have to tell me to have that conversation. And we're having that conversation. That one got to be pushed. All right. That's happening. All right. Yes. So whatever it is. All right. Fill in your mind whatever it is. All right. My wife should not be bugging me and saying, Aaron, have you had that conversation with your parents? Yes, I've had, I'll talk to them a week later. Aaron, have you had that conversation with your parents? No, I just haven't had a good time. I will talk to them 3 weeks later. That issue arises again. Aaron, have you had that conversation with your parents? No. All right. It shouldn't be her or him or me talking to her, pushing the spouse or your spouse to have conversations with your parents. All right. You as married, grown-up, mature adults need to see the issue, see the problem, all right? Discuss it with your spouse and say, hey, I'm going to go talk about it. We're going to get taken care of, okay? That's just that's maturity, all right? And that's in the workplace, that should take place if it needs to be. Amongst friends, that should take place if it needs to be. But definitely in the confines of marriage, all right, that needs to happen, all right? So Jenny should not be pushing me to go talk to my parents because they're frustrating the mess out of her. And I shouldn't be pushing her to go talk to her parents because they're driving me nuts, all right? Pretty simple. Wives, all right, go talk to your parents. Husbands, go talk to your parents, all right? Even after 10 years, I don't know how comfortable, if I had to do it, I would. But I would prefer to have those important conversations. I would prefer Jenny to have those important conversations with her parents as opposed to me having to have those conversations with her parents, all right? And vice versa. She would rather me have that conversation with my parents as opposed to her having that conversation with my parents, all right? So whoever it is needs to have that conversation, all right? Don't run from it, all right? Number three, define clear limits, all right? Be specific about, and this is kind of being specific, but be specific about visit times. All right, kind of the example I talked about earlier. Maybe holidays, okay? Unsolicited advice, all right? Whose house are we going to for Thanksgiving, all right? Whose house are we going to for Christmas, all right? It's easy for us now. We've got, you know, my parents 5 minutes, her parents 10 minutes, all right? So we can actually do both in the same day. It's hectic, it's stressful, it's tiring, it's busy, but we can do that, all right? But if that's not the case and your parents are over here and 2 hours away and her parents are 3 hours away, you know, you're going to have to make decisions. And that's where you got to, again, communicate. What are we doing 3 months before Christmas? All right. Hey, Mom, we've talked about it. We're coming to your house for Christmas. All right. But we're going to their house for Thanksgiving. All right. Be clear as crystals on that kind of stuff. All right. And even then, which is, you can't help this, but even then, sometimes it still brings up an issue, all right? Because even you can communicate as well, and you think there is going to be no problems come the week before Christmas or the week before Easter. We have communicated clearly. We know what we're doing. I've informed everybody. And then someone can get a call with a little guilt trip attached to it, right? Oh, well, we were hoping you'd come here because your sisters and your brothers are going to be here, and the whole family is going to be here. You're the only ones. Well, I'm sorry, but we've already communicated this with you, Mom. Dad, all right, we've talked about it. This is what we are doing, okay? And so make sure you define clear limits, all right? I used holidays as an example, but you can use, you know, that goes wherever, all right? Number four, and I hope it doesn't get to this, but if it does, reduce contact if needed, okay? Step back to a low contact or limited visits if your mental health or marriage suffer from toxic behavior, all right? If it's almost Thanksgiving or if it's almost Christmas time and you are dreading going to your parents' house and dragging your spouse and your family along because you know it is just not going to be a good time, all right? If you need to, take a year off. Hey, listen, Mom and Dad, I know it's going to be crazy because we haven't had the best relationship since our marriage started with you guys. And we do not want to spend our Christmas or our Thanksgiving like that. And so because of that, we hate to do this, but we're going to take this year off, all right? Number one, that's a couple things. Number one, it kind of teaches them a lesson, all right? If they want to see you, they will understand that you have got other responsibilities and other family members to go see, all right? And then number two, Billy, what was my number two? I think that was kind of it, actually. Good job, Matt. Thank you. Should ask you. You have an enjoyable holiday. Yeah, you're not fighting. You're not arguing. You know, your spouse isn't frustrated when you go to bed, and your kids aren't, and all that kind of stuff. All right. So that's kind of a twofold answer there. All right. And so again, I hope it doesn't get to that point. But if it needs to, you got to play hardball. All right. Now, that's not biblical, by the way. Okay. Now. Okay. All right. But I think it's practical. Okay. I think it's practical. All right. If you don't get along with somebody and you don't want your holiday or whatever to be no fun, take a year off. All right. And let them learn the hard way. All right. That is biblical. I mean, Secondly, number two, and we've got about probably 20 minutes. We'll take some questions at the end. I don't know if we'll get right to 8 o'clock. But secondly, you need to protect your relationship. You need to protect your marriage relationship, all right? A few ways to do that. Number one, avoid blame. Do not blame your spouse for the way their parents act. This can be easy to do, all right? I've said it jokingly. I've never said it serious. I've never been serious about it most of the time. But, you know, I've told Jenny, stop acting like your mother or call her mother's name. I don't advise doing that if you've ever done that before. Now, again, I said it kind of mostly kiddingly, but kind of serious, you know, one of those things. But do not blame your spouse for the way their parents act, okay? This is an easy thing to do because you have to take frustration out on probably on somebody, right? You've got to talk to somebody about this. If your mother-in-law is just, you know, driving you crazy and frustrating you and you're keeping it inside and it's just boiling and boiling and boiling, all right? You're going to take that out on somebody, whether it's your children, but more times than not, it's your wife or your husband, your spouse. Yes, right? So do not blame your spouse for the way their parents act, okay? That's just not good for marriage in general, okay? I wouldn't advise that at all right? Number two, keep private details private, okay? Keep private details private, all right? Do not share deep financial information with them. Maybe personal, obviously personal struggles that you're going through. Maybe work. maybe issues that you're struggling with. Maybe when it comes to parenting. All right. Make sure that you keep your private details private. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have people in your life that's not your spouse that you can go to get information from and talk to and lean on and get advice from, because you need those people in your life, all right? I just wouldn't make those people your parents, okay? Now, maybe you and your parent have a great relationship and you can go to them and, you know, share with them stuff, but that's not always the best person to go to, all right? Maybe have someone in a good friend or maybe an older couple that you have looked up to and that you have kind of admired through the years and you respect, and you could go to them knowing that they're not going to let that information leak out and tell somebody else about it, all right? That can be damaging to you or to your wife or to that relationship, or, you know, then all of a sudden if you tell the wrong person, then, you know, half the town knows. Okay, so make sure you do have someone. Just do not share that information that is important, that is private, with your parents, unless you have that fine of grid of a relationship with them. And I know some people do. All right, and then lastly, number three, choose your battles. All right, let minor issues and annoyances go, and only step in when real boundaries are crossed. All right. Sometimes you just gotta, when something's frustrating you and it's not a huge issue, you know, you have those things where it's really, in the whole grand scheme of things, it's not a big issue at all. All right. But because it came from a certain person, it's a big issue. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if it would have come from someone else, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But it came from this person, so it's really, okay. I have this relationship with my dog. I'm serious. Nico, he can, if anybody wants a dog, I will pay you to take him. No, mine first. No, not a 2-for-1 deal, just one. All right. Yeah, they will pay. Yeah. So we got like a couple $100 to take my dog. All right. You just cannot bring him back. Okay. This sounds goofy, but I have this relationship with my dog. I can be around any other dog and they can bark a little bit and they can do what dogs do, and I can be fine with it until he does it. And then I go from 0 to 100 like that, just because it's my dog that I'm not going to start talking about my dog, because no one, you don't care about my dog, but he can do certain things that other dogs can't, and I can't stand him for it, that I would let other dogs get away with. All right. Same goes with people. All right. There are people, and maybe an in-law, maybe it's not, or maybe it's a grandma. I don't know. All right. But there are people that can do certain things that it's not a big deal until this person does that thing, and it sends you from, like I said, 0 to 100, and you're just, ready to go. Okay. And so make sure you choose your battles. Let those minor little things go. I know, you know, we've heard this since I was this tall, you know, be the bigger person. All right. Just let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth the carnage that's going to take place after you address this problem. Okay. It's just not worth it. Let it go. All right. Some things are not worth addressing, and you need discernment in what to address and what not to address. All right. That's where you need to lean on your spouse for that. Because remember, if that certain person does it, you go from zero to 100. All right. Your spouse, hopefully, that's not the same person, hopefully, for both of you. Okay. And so when it frustrates me, all right, when someone says something, but it doesn't frustrate her, I need to go to my wife and say, hey, listen, you know how I feel about this person. You know, they can just do the littlest thing and it gets me going. What do, you know, should I be quiet? Should I, you know, I need discernment here. What should I do? And she can say, let it go. It's not a big deal. I say, okay, all right, you're right. I need to let it go. It's not a big deal. But to me, it's a big deal. But in reality, it's not a big deal. All right. And so choose your battles. All right. Number three, and the last kind of the last point is Exodus 20 verse 12 doesn't stop after marriage. You want to know what that says? Honor your father and mother. All right. After you say I do, this does not stop. All right. The word honor means to show respect. All right. It involves treating others with kindness and dignity. All right. Honoring your parents and in-laws should never stop. All right. No matter how much they frustrate you, how much they annoy you, and not only with in marriage and with in-laws or whatever, but this goes for anybody. This goes for the guy at work that you cannot stand, the girl at work that you just do not want to be around. This goes for whoever. All right. Honoring, okay, and respecting people as Christians should always be at the forefront. We should always be honoring people, but specifically honor thy father and mother. It should never stop. All right. You may disagree. Their lifestyle may not be honorable to you. All right. The decisions that they make may not be the decisions that you would make. All right. But that does not mean that we should stop honoring and respecting our parents. All right. That can be an easy, if you're not careful and you're not thinking about it, you're not in that mindset, that can be an easy thing to do, all right? If as a husband, if it was my mom, all right, that was causing just Jenny just to be annoyed and frustrated and stressed, all right, it's easier for me to treat my mom different because you're messing with my wife. Mom, I love you, but you're messing with my wife, so listen here, all right, all right? There still needs to be honor and respect and dignity, all right? That does not leave after you say I do. It always needs to be present, all right? Marriage is a wonderful thing that doesn't come with its fair number of challenges, all right? And I think we are all either are or have been married in here, and I think we would all agree to that statement, all right? 100%, all right? No family is perfect. Keep that in mind, all right? No family is perfect. Other couples, they fight. Other couples, you know, there's piles of laundry at their house too, all right? Other couples, their children argue and there are disagreements between your children, all right? Keep that in mind. The grass is not always greener, all right? Each marriage has their problems, has their issues, has their things they need to work out and work through, okay? Now, this has been mostly addressed to the younger couples, and I understand that, all right? That doesn't mean that older couples don't face this as well. It just probably looks a little bit different, all right? With older couples, now you're probably maybe dealing with aging parents, all right, that a younger couple hasn't even needed to think about. Maybe aging parents or, you know, health issues in parents that are aging where, okay, now we got to get, you know, we got to get a brother involved and a sister involved, all right? What does that dynamic look like? Okay. How is that going to fare? All right. Because I can tell you this, if 30 years before, all right, it was a lot of this, all right, with family members, all right, fast forward 30 years, all right, more than likely, all right, maybe not to that extent, but it's probably still going to be like this a little bit. Okay. And that's where, you know, you would hope as adults, we can, you know, have conversations and be able to speak truth and not have so-and-so storm out because, you know, they're mad they're not getting as much money in the will as this kid, and they're frustrated because this and that, and blah, blah, and now family dynamic is, you know, I don't know. But the foundation of your marriage in the first year or two and how you're going to decipher in-laws and how you're going to handle different things, all right, that is foundational. That is extremely important, okay? Because, again, in 20 or 30 years, it'll probably at some point come up again in whatever way, whatever kind of format it is, all right? But make sure that foundation when you start is set in stone, all right? Try very hard to implement these principles to help those relationships be as good as they possibly can be.